Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good afternoon. It is April the 22nd, 2022. Hope all is well in your world. I am trying to get this podcast done. I started it during the week, started it this morning. I did it this morning. The phone kept ringing. It just didn't happen. And, you know, I really want to get this podcast out. It's a, I enjoy doing it. So I've just been struggling a bit with really what to talk about. I'm, you know, usually not at a loss to talk about things, but unfortunately on this one, it's been a bit of a struggle, but we'll work, we'll figure it out. Yeah, so I just finished work. Thought I'd come in here and see if I can sit down and put down some thoughts and, you know, get on with the weekend. But it is Friday, and I ran this morning with the doctor. Great run, great reminder of just how blessed I am to be alive. Crazy, right? Sometimes it takes a little reminder, like a run, to remind myself, you know, just how grateful it is, you know, how I benefit so much every day due to the fact of being sober. And, you know, trying to convey that message is tough. And, you know, one of the things that I, you know, I go back and listen to the podcast and try to, you know, just take the temperature and see, you know, how I feel about it. But one of the things that, you know, that keeps coming up is, you know, trying to figure out what it is that I want, whether it's from recovery, from life, from the day, from this minute, right? You know, I shared a lot of how I struggled with sobriety and struggled with programs and struggled with AA and NA. And, you know, I've been to rehabs and just, you know, couldn't seem to pull it together. And, you know, it would be years before I would realize that the reason that none of that worked for me is because I really had no desire to get sober, right? I mean, it was a, you know, it was a get out of jail free card, so to speak, just to suggest, you know, whatever shit that I'd gotten myself into, you know, if I would hint or suggest that maybe going to a rehab or recovery program might be something that I'm interested in, all focus would shift. And usually it would shift from the bad things that I'd been doing to, hey, you know, maybe this is a doorway that we need to go through, and everybody getting excited, and, you know, and even maybe at the time me getting excited. But, you know, learning later that I really didn't want to get sober. I really just wanted to stop talking about it. I really, you know, loved doing what I what I did, which was serving me, living a life that served me. And, you know, the conversation about maturity, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about, you know, I've always felt and I've heard that the day that I picked up a drink or the day that I picked up a drug was the day that I stopped maturing. And I'm like, well, how could that be? It never really made sense because, you know, I'm still growing, right? I'm still eating. I'm still living. I'm still experiencing stuff. But I think what it really ended up meaning was is that the day that I started to drink and use drugs was the day that I really started to focus on pleasing self, pleasing me. And as I've learned, however many years later, is that, you know, maturity is about that transition from serving me to trying to be of service to others. But when I picked up that drink and when I picked up more, actually my biggest detour in life really was pot. Drinking, I did it, but, you know, my day early on in my pot days, and it would start around high school, but, you know, my day would be like, get up, hopefully smoke some pot, and then spend the rest of the day either trying to figure out how to find some money or figure out how to try to find some more pot, or, you know, at the least try to find somebody with some pot or somebody with some money that wanted to get some pot. But that was, you know, that was my day. You know, serve me. What does self want? Self wants to get high. Let's serve me. And that at the same time meant that I was going against everything else, like what the law was, of course. You know, what I should really be wanting as a person at that age. And then on, and then in the end, it was what my parents wanted. So I was kind of screwing over three different groups, the law, myself, and my parents. And that would be really the theme of my life for so long that, you know, I was physically growing, right? I started, you know, have to shave and I got a beard and all the great stuff that comes along with growing older. But if all I am doing is focusing on myself, you know, it's like having a garden, right? And let's say you're just growing, you know, a few rows of vegetables. And if all I do is spend all my time working that garden, you know, the weeds start to grow up around. The house starts to fall apart. I'm so focused on that garden that everything else is falling apart around me. And that's kind of how it was. But, you know, you grind along. You become used to the grind. You become used to the disappointing people. I became used to, you know, I remember that the album The Wall had come out, and I just remember being so in such a dark place because I was such a disappointment, but I kept screwing up at so many things, and I couldn't change my life because I wanted only one thing, which was to party. So it was a very, very, very tough time. And, you know, but that, you know, but it takes time. And then finally, you know, to come into a program and decide, you know, finally, I think this is what I want. I'm ready to quit. And I've said it before, it wasn't really because I was tired of the alcohol. I'd become quite used to living on the bottom like I had done for so long that wasn't even really what had decided to change me. It was the embarrassment, the shame. And, you know, early on, you know, and I shared this, you know, when I started the podcast, is that, you know, I ran this morning with my buddy Jimmy. And Jimmy and I have been running for 20-something years. I think we started running in 98. I quit smoking in 99. And I quit smoking because I wanted to run, plain and simple. And we started running, and we would run, you know, over the years, more or less. You know, he likes to do theater, so he would leave for the summer. So, you know, but, you know, like today, we ran this morning. We always try to have a commitment. And if it wasn't for that commitment that we have for Friday morning runs, I'm not sure I would have gotten up and ran. I mean, I got up this morning and was trying to talk myself, and I even thought about calling him and saying, hey, I'm just not feeling it. But I didn't. And we ran, and I ran great. He's doing a lot more running than I am lately, so he was a little faster. But, yeah, I think we had 10-minute miles, 10-20 miles, 10.2-minute miles, which is, yeah, you're not going to go to the Olympics on that time. But, you know, for a 54-year-old man, it's not horrible. And but, you know, it's sort of the same way it was when I first started getting sober. You know, it was a commitment. Because all at that point early on in my sobriety, all I was doing was refraining from drinking and trying to figure out, get my bearings straight, right? I remember just being surprised I'm not drunk. That's how fucking basic it had gotten for me. And so at that point, I'm just really just experiencing. This is like a new kid experiencing different things in life that didn't involve drugs and all the shit that came along with it and drinking and all the shit that came along with it. You know, this was about, you know, learning how to be empathetic, learning how to care, learning how to be aware, learning how to maybe not think of self all the time, which is not easy, right? And but, you know, I got that first sponsor and he's like, listen, let's make a commitment. However long period of time of drinking a drug and just a mush. And, you know, and I didn't know what I was doing. All I know is that if someone had a voice loud enough and it sounded good, I was following it. And luckily enough, those early voices were all positive. And so early on, making that commitment. And then, you know, when you start coming to your senses, you're like, oh, do I really need to do this? And then, but my sponsor's like, listen, let's take a coffee commitment. Let's take be a greeter. And I'm like, okay. So next thing you know, I've got another commitment. Now I'm staying in longer and I'm staying in longer. And the whole time, not knowing what the fuck I'm doing, but I'm just showing up, right? And early sobriety, you know, they talk about the pink cloud. What the pink cloud is hi, welcome to humility. Welcome to taking a break from focusing on yourself. And self, the devil, which I've said before, and I hope that doesn't freak people out, but that's how I think about it. He's always around and he's very patient. But when you start living a different life, like being part of a commitment and showing up and having humility, it fucking feels really, really good, especially when you've lived such a shit life for so long. But that starts to fade, you know? The dents start popping out and, you know, we start feeling good and we're like, hey, look how good I'm doing. And that's where, like, another commitment needs to show up. And that's when Ron M's like, listen, why don't you take a coffee commitment? Or why don't you take a greeter? He said, you need to. There wasn't really, why don't you? It's like, you need to take a coffee commitment. And I just felt like I was so part of something. You know, I hadn't been part of anything. It was always the search and then the joy of finding and then using and then the search and the joy of finding. That was my world. And disappointment. Sprinkled in disappointment all throughout that. And, you know, so to make another commitment. So all these, you know, in my mind at the time, it was about, you know, just doing the right thing, right? Doing something. I ain't doing anything, so I might as well do something. But I look back at it now, just like I look at the running that I do with Jimmy, and is like, you know, we make commitments to keep us involved. And, you know, if I got to make coffee at 8 o'clock, I know that I'm not doing anything until 8 o'clock because, like I said, I'm a people pleaser and nothing's going to stop me from pleasing people. So maybe that would give me the break throughout the day not to pick up a drink, even though I will say I was very blessed in the fact that when I did stop, I didn't want to drink anymore. I was done. And it wasn't about, you know, the struggle, white knuckling it. I had no desire to drink. I'd really, really, really been waiting to quit drinking. 4 or 5 years later, I can't say that was the same, but early on there was no struggle. I was done. I was done hunting alcohol. I was done hunting drugs. I was over it. And I just wanted to, I loved what I was getting. But you know, not everybody's like that. You know, not everybody's like that. Some people, and like me, who have been to meetings early on, were forced. You know, and I would go, and I would doodle, and I would draw. It's like going to church when you're a kid. I used to, give me a pencil and a piece of paper, and I would just draw the whole time. I wouldn't listen. I didn't care. It's not serving me, right? This is, I'm just doing it because I'm being forced, and that's how early sobriety was for me. Going to early meetings, rehab. I got sent to a rehab when I was 15 because I was smoking pot. My parents stuck me in a program for, I almost want to say it was for a year, but I don't think it was. But it was for a long time. And, you know, I was 15. I was just smoking pot. And my parents put me in a place for a year. And I was like, you know, I hated it. I hated every minute of it. You know, couldn't see anything positive from it. And, but, you know, it is what it is. But it's so important for me today to make little commitments, you know, and I learned that in the program is, you know, make commitments, show up for other people. And, you know, life is pretty fucking awesome. Fuck yeah. Sing it, Jimmy. Fucking love that song. James Hetfield and Metallica. Let's go. So, you know what? I'm going to read a step. Step three. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. That is a lot. Made a decision to turn our will. I don't even know if I do this step that well. Made a decision to turn our will. What is that will? What we want? And our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Let me read it. It says, step three is like opening of a locked door. How shall we let God into our lives? Willingness is the key. Dependence as a means to independence. Dangers of self-sufficiency. Turning our will over to a higher power. Misuse of willpower sustained in personal exertion necessary to conform to God's will. Well, that didn't really answer much. You know, it's... yeah, I don't, you know, I've said it before, I'm not an expert at this program. I know that this is a, you know, I know that I try. So if I'm going to live a life of God, that means a life of humility. And I think this kind of in the beginning I shared, you know, at some point I had to sit down and really decide what is it that I want, right? Do I want to fake getting sober? Do I want to continue to bullshit everybody? Or do I really want to remove alcohol and drugs from my life? The answer to that was yes. I absolutely was ready to remove alcohol and drugs from my life. But was I willing to change my whole lifestyle in a more God-like way? Which means to me, if I'm living a life of drinking and drugging the opposite of God, that would be a more self-centered life, right? So what would that look like? You know, I get up when I want. I eat first. I don't consider anybody else. You know, it can be as simple as taking a shower, right? You know, I, as a father of three kids, am the last to take a shower, right? Everybody get a shower, and then I'll take one. Because that's just... That's that third step. That's the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, which means living a life of humility, a life less of self, but thinking of others, right? Because that's what God, and I've said it before, I'm not into Jesus, I'm not into religion, but I've seen the stories, right? And Jesus was very helpful. And God is, you know, according to everything that's been written, is very helpful. And so if I'm going to live a life of God, then that means I'm going to live a life that considerate of others. Makes sense. And so, you know, when I came out of my drinking days, all I cared about was me. Whether it was what I was getting or what, unfortunately, it had happened to me, or look at what I got, or I can't believe it ended up like this, but me. You know, you come up to me, hey, I saw the trees. My first response would be, oh, I used to grow trees, you know, or I love cutting down trees, or, you know, it's always, and I remember Matt used to tell me, you know, how we flip stories around. You know, when someone comes to me and says something about, you know, oh my God, we're going through this, and then I immediately say, oh, I went through that because I had nothing else to offer. I made everything about me. Hey, we're going to the beach. We love the beach. Can we go to the beach? You know, it was always like, how can I be involved? There was never like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. You know, and tell me more. Let's change the story about me. And so when I, you know, at some point I had to figure out what is it that I want. And when someone, and I'm, a lot of the times, these things are that I learned in this program like that were learned in a, it didn't feel good when I learned them. You know, I told you about the time Matt was having a party and I said, hey, can we move it to the different day? 'Cause I'm working. And he said, oh, we're going to move the whole party because of you. And I remember I felt an inch tall. And but those were those moments, God moments, I guess, because believe me, self ran out of my body at that moment. You know, that was God winks, right? But, you know, at some point I was like, God, I don't want to be a person like that. You know, I don't want to be a person that's all about me. So to change my will and my life over to the care of God means that I have to live a life that's considerate of others. You know, last night, you know, I have a 16-year-old, and he called me last night. He's like, Daddy. I go, yeah, what's up? He goes, I locked my keys in the car. I knew this was going to happen. He bought this truck. It's a great truck, but it's one of these trucks that it's like when you start it or start moving, it locks all the doors, but it doesn't unlock all the doors, which is strange. So I just am like, this is a setup for locking keys in the car. And so he called me last night. Keys got locked in the car. And, you know, I mean, part of me was like, well, fuck, I don't feel like, you know, I'm having to get up. I worked all day, came home. My wife was making dinner. And we were literally, the timer was going off to eat, and he calls me. And a life of self would have been like, you know, sorry. I'm going to eat dinner. I'm going to relax, and then I'll come down there. You know, it's this is your fault. It's not my problem. It's your problem. And, you know, as a dad raising kids, you have to flirt with that kind of answer a little bit. But, you know, I was like, all right, you know, let me put my shoes on. Came down, tried to help him get the car open, couldn't. You know, it was a little newer car. Back in my day, we could have got that bitch open. But today, so we had to call somebody. But, you know, I didn't really want to go over there. But, you know, I've turned my will and my life. My life means that when asked, as inconvenient as it is, and I can't tell you that every time something like that comes up, I'm like, love to, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, God damn it. And then I'll go. But my life is to help people, especially my family. So, you know, that's, if you meet somebody that's not like that, they're pretty fucking gross. And I know some. And when you do decide to make that change, when you do decide to turn your will and your life over to the care of God, people stick out like sore thumbs, you know? And, you know, I see it in clients. I see it, you know, in just people. I see it in, you know, my family sometimes. I see it, you know, like my kids. And listen, kids get an exemption because they're kids. You know, they haven't matured. They haven't experienced it. They are in self-defense mode, right? They are, you know, I got to survive mode. And, you know, and I've seen it, you know, my 10-year-old starting to, you know, he'll come over and give me a hug, or he does the dishes, and he'll, you know, he's becoming thoughtful of others. My oldest son, he still struggles with empathy. He's very, very rigid. He's like, you know, you didn't do your homework, you're going to get an F. Dummy. It's like, duh, but, you know, why can't we be like a little one? Hey, you know, you really got to do your homework, bro, or this is what's going to happen. But he's very hard. But, you know, I've seen the maturity. I've seen the change. But early kids, like my little ones, man, they are self-centered to the core. You know, it's like, Daddy, can you pick me up some snacks? I'm like, sure, what do you want? And, you know, some hot fries or some bullshit. And I stop and I pick it up. And then I'll go back there and he'll be eating. I'm like, can I have some? He's like, nope. I'm like, you're not going to give me any of your fries? He's not there. There's not that many. I'm like, dude, I went and got them for you. You know? So, but like I said, he's a kid. That's what they're supposed to do. But when you start seeing adults, you know, when you see adults take the first shower, you know, I always say I never trust a business owner who takes the best parking spot. It reveals a lot about them. It reveals that all they care about is that them as a person has the least amount of distance to walk. Where I'm like, I park as far away as I can because anybody that's coming to my business, I want them to have a good spot. You know, I'm thinking of others, which to me makes perfectly good sense. But there are people, business owners especially, that will take the best parking spots. And I'm like, you self-centered fucking prick. That's it. Basically, where do you park for work? Do you want the best spot or do you want the worst spot? But this is the, you know, this is the, I think, the change that starts to happen for some of us. Some of us continue to take that best spot. But for me, you know, I've given my life and my will over to the care of God. And that doesn't mean that I have a Bible, because I don't. It doesn't mean that I go to church, because I do not. It doesn't mean that I do the youth group, because I don't. But I try to think of others. It's very simple. So this podcast has been a very big struggle for me lately, because I'm just running out of stuff to talk about. I'm going to keep trying to do it at least once a week. The other day I said I think it was done. But in the same time, I have a lot of people that are like coming up to me and liking the podcast. So I'm sort of pressed between a rock and a hard place. So I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to keep trying. It's only supposed to be about sharing my story after getting sober. And I hope that if you are struggling, you know, just figure out, be honest. What is it you want? What is it that you want? And maybe that'll lead you to figuring out if maybe sobriety, and then at some point turning your will and your life over the care of God. All right. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.